All right. It is now 7:34. We will call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-Chair Charette.
Yes, here.
Co-Chair Lennon.
Yes.
Commissioner Cadleck.
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt.
Here.
Commissioner Avalos.
Here.
Commissioner Beckman. Commissioner Shader.
Here.
Student Commissioner Steerwalt. All right. We have six voting members present, so we do have a quorum. First item of business will be public comment. We do have one resident here tonight to give comment. If you want to come up to the stand here, and then I'll make sure the mic's on.
She didn't say, but she was.
Hi, my name is Lillian Ryan, and I'm in fourth grade in Mrs. Reyes's class at Lincoln School. Our voices should be heard with the same respect as everyone else speaks. I've learned so much about this place, Earth, we live on. I know that 99% of air we breathe is polluted. We aren't doing enough yet. Almost 150 species get extinct every single day. Our voices should be heard. Global warming is just one out of a lot of things we need to work on. We need to start putting things in the right bins and using both sides of paper. We are killing animals by throwing trash into the ocean and polluting our Earth. We can stop buying fossil fuels and vote for people that won't hurt our Earth. We could plant more trees to make better air. They are cheap and they don't need much care. You can save money by not using fossil fuels. It's your money that you're using. We need to stop buying things that are bad for the Earth and start buying things that are good for the Earth. You should start to think of more solutions. Share them with people you know and put them into action. Look at the planet around us and just think how we can make it cleaner. We still do not know 1,000 of 1% of what nature has revealed to us, stated Albert Einstein. We cannot destroy all of it. We only have a tiny bit left. We can start taking care of our Earth now or wait for other generations to deal with it. I'd rather deal with it now. So be brave and speak up.
Yeah. Well said. Very well said. Yeah.
Sorry, what?
I said that was very well said.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing that.
So before we move on to adoption of the meeting minutes, I didn't know, I just wanted to just sort of open the floor up for anyone with regards to that. So
I just have a comment right off the bat. Thank you for saying that. I feel like we need the reminder because I get in the weeds a lot. I don't know about you all. And I believe it might have been you. I forget who presented, but I listened in on the Board of Trustees meeting last night, and one of you or
I think it was a couple other students came out last night.
A few other Lincoln Eagles, I'm an alum, came and talked about trash and putting recycling together. And I really would like to follow up that discussion. And just thanks for talking tonight and bringing it up back into the fold again.
Yeah, I do want to thank you. And it's very encouraging and also important for you to come up and say these things. You know, we wrestle here with how do we change people's behavior? Because that's what you're talking about. It's not just recycling and composting. It's how do you consume less, right, to begin with, and all those other things you mentioned. And having you at home, having an interest in this, prodding mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, and everyone else is what's going to help move this thing along. So I appreciate it. And if you, as you come up with more things you want to present to us, please do so. And I guess I'll just kind of toss this out here is, you know, we started doing this a little bit. David brought in some photos, some pictures that we started using is, you know, how do we maybe build some more of this type of thing into what we put out every month? Or, you know, so that gets out to community, not just from the commission, but comes out from the you know, the people, particularly youth out there that are coming up with these things. So it's something that I'd ask us all to think about. How can we actually take advantage of this and get it out there?
I have a question for the speaker and their parents. Is there an eco club or sustainability club at Lincoln? And I bet you're on it. In it. Okay. Well, maybe you should join. And you know what? I think it would be a great idea if once you did join, you came back and told us what your club was doing, because that would help us kind of connect with the community, because I think that's the most important way to make things happen is when you folks on your own are kind of figuring out new things you'd like to do, plant trees, native gardens, different projects. And I would love that.
And I mean, you mentioned that you're a fourth grader, right? So you're headed to Roosevelt next year. Yeah, because there's all, I forgot what the name of the, do you remember, Ben, what are the names of the clubs there?
It changes. It's Environmental Club at Roosevelt. And we're, you know, we work with them. If I think it would be great if there was a more regular channel of communication between those clubs and this commission. Mm-hmm. So you gave us some challenges. I'll give you one.
Yeah, we're here every month on the second Tuesday. If you want to come back, I feel like, to Commissioner Hoyt's point, I think it would be great to. There's green clubs at, I believe, all D90 schools, and it would be great to establish a rapport and hear what they're doing, what we're doing, what they think we should be doing, and so on and so forth.
And
so
you can you. Also watch these meetings from home. Like, you know, if you only can dip in for half an hour or something, kid, because it's a big commitment to come every month, but that's something else that you could do and listen. And then if you have comments, you can pass them along. But I just want to reiterate what Gary said about you have the biggest impact in the people right around you, on your family, on your friends. When you see people at school and they can't be bothered to put things, you know, in the compost or something, you are eyes on the ground and you are there. And so you can help so much. And if you can become part of a club and have more people doing it, because it's going to take all of us to do this. So we really appreciate you coming and speaking to us. Thank you. And it's really exciting. And feel free to leave whenever, you know, we go on and on. So feel free to leave whenever you want.
That was the highlight. Yeah.
We're going to move on to something really exciting. Adoption of last month's meeting minutes. So I have draft minutes from last month's meeting. I didn't know if anyone had any edits or notes of any sort.
Motion to adopt the meeting minutes.
Right, motion by Commissioner Kedlick. Do we have a second? Second by Commissioner Avalos. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Kedlick?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt? Commissioner Shader?
Yes.
All right, minutes are adopted. We will move on to commissioner updates. First item, so we have two newly appointed commissioners. So we are back to a full 7-member commission. One of them could not make it tonight. But Jeff, I'll turn it over to you to introduce yourself.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jeff Shader. We've been living in River Forest 20 plus years. Both my kids went through the whole, you know, Lincoln, Willard, et cetera, et cetera. I'm an emergency physician. I worked at Cook County Hospital for 30 plus years, retired there about 6 years ago or so. And I'm doing medical editing, still volunteering at the hospital, the medical school, and also at Northwestern as well. And and I'm interested in helping anyway. And I love the city. I love River Forest. And I think we're all on the same page. And it'll be interesting to what you've come up with and what I can contribute. So I appreciate your support and being on the committee. You too, Luke, for or Seth, for your help.
Absolutely. Welcome.
Yeah, good to have you.
We could just mention the name. Do you want to just mention the name of the other person?
And then Ty Beckman is the other person who was appointed last night. So the board did their full appointments and reappointments as part of their agenda last night. So quick turnaround. So thank you for coming out. I had emailed Ty as well. He had responded that he was unable to attend, but he will hopefully be out here next month then.
Did you hear from AJ?
AJ emailed me shortly before the meeting. He had a track meet tonight, so he was unable to attend.
Maybe we can mention this to our audience too. So when you get a little older at the high school, we do have student commissioners. AJ is one of them. I believe he's a senior now. He's been on the commission for several years. So that's something to think about in the future if you can actually be a part of this.
Yeah, my email is on the village website, so please do not be shy to reach out to me with any information you want to share.
Thank you.
Okay.
I did want to reiterate, I tuned into the village board meeting last night because I just stumbled upon it on YouTube. There's two lovely other Lincolnites spoke and gave public comment. And one of their thoughts, and I don't know if the board's talked about this at all since it's been like less than 24 hours, but they were thinking of having recycling and they took it a step further and said compost next to all the trash bins that the village owns. And then I believe Trustee Bachner brought up bringing in the forest preserve. And I was just wondering if anybody had any thoughts. I know it can be difficult because of animals and stuff and cross-contamination, which I'm really worried about and think we would need to do an education push on, but just opening it up to the floor if anyone had any thoughts.
Yeah, so I can provide more context. So there was a lot of sustainability stuff that actually just naturally came up at yesterday's meeting. So yeah, the lone public comment was the two students who came in provide comment. Their two big asks were for public recycling receptacles. And then the other thing they brought up was a plastic bag tax, which of course we know with being a non-home rule community, we don't have the legal authority to do. But then just sort of moving on in order, they specifically recommended the recycling containers at the proposed park we're calling Heritage Square right across. It's the parking lot right on the corner there will be torn up in early June. And then we will start to build it out with grass and then native plants, ornamentals. That's at least the initial concept. Yeah, right at the corner there. And then we did get a small grant from the Illinois Realtors to put in some garbage cans and benches. So that would likely be garbage cans and benches. And so their suggestion, that was sort of the sort of consensus that would be the starting point. And then I've actually talked with our village administrator today about how we would expand it out with the public cans around town. Those are serviced by LRS and it's a specific provision in our contract. So as we sort of over the course of next year, get maybe more into the details on that. And again, I do not have an update on that as of right now. But that would be something to address that with. And then in terms of putting these cans in, again, need to figure out all the issues you just raised with preventing contamination and the like. The community aggregation recommendation that the commission gave was unanimously approved by the board last night or voted in favor of by everyone who was present. And then one of the suggestions the board had coming right off of the public comment was that could be those funds could potentially be used to install the recycling receptacles.
Yeah, I would say like with the issue of like cross-contamination, because that's definitely like, at Triton we have in all classrooms, there's trash and recycling. But sometimes even though the blue collar, everything, it might not be enough. But when we have put in recycling that, you know, it might be a container where it only has the slit for like a bottle or a can or something like that, we find that those can be much more effective. And I imagine that those kind of materials, like a drink bottle or can, would be a lot of the things that might be getting recycled. So that would be a good option.
As far as composting, has there ever been discussion about like citywide composting, like, where people could bring their stuff?
So there actually are places that it's only three locations. So right.
It actually exists. Okay.
Yeah. So right here, if you go out the front and then over to this concrete pad over here, there's four of the green lid carts. And then we also have one at the Public Works garage and one at the water pumping station.
Okay, great.
And then I know City of Chicago does something similar for public composting where they have a dedicated spot and they actually develop special cans with latches on it. And like the people who subscribe to it have like the specific code to get in. I don't think we need anything that elaborate because it's mostly just people walking over from the condos to drop off food scraps or.
Are those being used a lot, those composting?
These ones here are heavily used. The one at the pump station is primarily used by people using the community gardens. Susan, you might be one of the few people using the one at the Public Works garage.
I go there once in a while, depending on what route we walk the dog. Yeah.
That as well. You may just make it part of your sun photo. Bring things we can just talk about real quick. These are not intended to bring like your entire long waist. It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
There is some of that as well. Yeah. But I as far as these,
the cross contamination has gotten much better here. Not so much at the pump station and the water. But I think one thing is I think the intentionality of having to walk over here works better than just having like three bins, especially one real downside of the LRS composting is it's blue, which I think in most of our minds we associate with recycling and green with compost. So I actually recently, I will admit, I was at the depot and I put recycling in a compost bin because there was no recycling bin there and it was blue and it was up. And so I didn't see that it was.
It is. I've tried to get clarity on it and it's just a complete mishmash of which colors are used for what. And there's the holdover of the Strom containers, the LRS containers. And then for, you know, people with driveway service, they're providing their own containers for garbage and recycling most of the time, which is, you know, 85-90% of the village. So it's, it's confusing. I've tried to sort of ask and get some clarity several times, but it's just really, piecemeal way of, because some people just get the full brown carts or even gray carts for compost I've seen. And
I would suggest, Seth, as you know, as an add-on to the negotiations that are coming up, is let's standardize that at least. The ones that are controlled by LSI.
Yeah, the ones going forward.
Mean if even if it means replacing, you know, not that it's pure. People still either all you do is walk around here and see people throwing trash right next to the trash containers. That doesn't mean people are actually going to use it right, but you have a better chance, at least if it's resembles something you think it should. Are we going to have any input into this over here?
Yes, that is the intention. So this is basically, so the plan with it is just to sort of get it a blank slate first and then allow community feedback, commission feedback, and just sort of have it develop naturally over the course of the next year or two.
Good. Cause I mean, in my mind, you know, this, you know, Lillian, I mean, the educational piece of stuff is so important, you know, I mean, it's the stuff that's there every day and not just what you present. And so the more we can use that as, I don't want to use the word beta site or whatever because it's all too technical, but educational, but just start to, you know, put the things in there so people see it, get used to it, custom to looking at it, and then you can start to expand it even a little bit further. And so the more that we can, you know, promote those little starting blocks, I think would be best.
Yeah. So the sort of conceptual intention is just sort of there'll be a walkway and then these benches and garbage cans. So the concrete's just part of our annual sidewalk program. And then the benches and cans are a grant. And then really beyond that, it's going to be very basic to start to really have that community feedback and input, because this is sort of the first
good
real public space like this that the village is charged with. So yeah, I think that is the intention, is just sort of start slow and then sort of allow this these various inputs to come in.
Good.
Does anyone have any more non-agenda commissioner updates before we move on?
I just want to mention that three of us were at the took part in the bird sit-in on Saturday. Of course, David Hoyt, Gary, and myself. And it was, I think it was fairly well attended. I wasn't there really. You were there earlier. So, but it seemed like there were about 20 people who dropped in. Some people were just walking by. Stream of people.
20 at least, and then maybe more.
Just stopping by. Yep.
Saw a bird I didn't even know existed. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Which one?
Yeah.
A goosebeak.
Grosbeak. Grosbeak.
Grosbeak.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you spotted that.
Yeah, it must have been passing through or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Other highlights were the solitary sandpiper. Three. I don't know if you were still there then.
Solitary sandpiper, yeah. And a northern pirula, which was the subject of a lot of pictures. I can send you one.
Yeah. So Jeff, to get you caught up.
Yeah, what was that? I'm just curious. It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's funny because not having been involved, you don't know a lot.
Yes.
You know, but yeah, it'd be important to let people know.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was at the Forest Preserve. This is part of the village is pursuing Bird City, Illinois designation. So there's various things, and one of the required items is an annual event in celebration of Migratory Bird Day, which was this last Saturday. So we are actually doing three separate events over the course of the month. David has really spearheaded this. So there was the big sit bird observation on the 9th itself. And then it's
at Trailside.
At Trailside, yeah. And then there will be a bird walk at Thatcher Woods. Is it the 19th?
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. And then there will be the following, is it the 28th?
Thursday, the 28th. I think that's the following week.
Yeah. And that will be at the
library.
And that is a book discussion on citizen science. And I'm going to forget the subtitle of it. Yeah. But that really leads into one of our other action items that we're developing as part of this process, which is a focal species monitoring project, which will be developed around the common nighthawk, which nests and mates in this area in the summer months.
And how do you distribute this information, like all the stuff? Like,
so we're trying to like put the information out on social media, on the village website.
Kathy's thing every
yeah.
I don't think you probably put it on there, but I missed it.
Yeah, so this was on there last week and then a few weeks prior. So it's, if you scroll down, there's a sustainability section typically every week.
And then also appears on social media, like the Facebook page, Instagram. We just try to hit everything because different people are doing different things.
And
I think you'll find that if you are aware of these things, you'll notice them. Whereas if you're just cruising through, it didn't make a big impact on you. So,
yeah. So generally the social media posts related to sustainability are the Saturday posts from the village social media sites.
That River Forest Facebook group that I'm part of.
Well, so that's like a citizens one. This is Village of River Forest. And then some of those will get picked up and put on if somebody does it, but which I did. I put it on Neighbors because I knew more people looked at that in a more timely manner.
But just to go through, I didn't know if you had anything on the focal species monitoring.
So that's coming up in like
2 weeks, right?
2 weeks. Yeah. So I wanted to share with everybody, you can take one. We now have, I left it at home. We have about maybe 20 monitors who have volunteered and been assigned sites throughout the River Forest, Oak Park, Forest Park area, including Mr. Avalos and Mr. Lennon. I've sent out some information with these protocols. You can pass this around. Gary, this and Manolo, these are for you, doing you the little favor of giving you a little notebook. And in these, you can note once a week. And if they're not sufficient, for whatever reason, you can find one that is. But this will get you started. You can.
I was planning on sending you it in a spreadsheet. No.
Maybe you can compile it all. But I thought this is handy to keep in your pocket. Yeah. And then on this sheet basically is the protocol to follow. And I've met with the students. The bulk of our volunteers are from the Environmental Club at OPRF. And I met with them last week. We may have some, although I'm not holding my breath, from Roosevelt. And then there's a number of just citizen volunteers that one way or another I've met who are interested, most from Oak Park, adults who are going to be participating. So anybody can do it. And so, yeah, I think I'm going to reach out maybe once more before we get going, maybe with a little kind of video that I'll send around, kind of walking through exactly what to do. And if you have any questions, you know, about where you're going to be monitoring, feel free to ask. And Gary, I know you were going to be out of town for 2 weeks. We can cover that. Yeah, so that seems to be going well. We'll see if come June 1st, if people actually show up. So,
do you have the coverage that you're looking for, you think?
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. The more would be better. But I tried to distribute people as well as we could in the four areas, most of the people being from Oak Park, the volunteers. They kind of asked to be positioned out there. So we have a lot of good coverage in Oak Park, especially in the southeast corner, which is under surveyed. So I think that's going to be helpful. So I think, yeah. And Jeff, to your point about sort of getting outreach, getting people informed about this stuff, you know, that's a challenge with this as well.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's sort of been like almost happenstance. I happen to talk to someone who knows people that may be interested. They put me in touch and we have volunteers that way. But I'm not active on social media. So I'm not out there just like, you know.
Right.
Blaring.
Yeah, neither am I. Yeah, but yeah, I understand.
So yeah, getting the word out is a challenge, but we have it. And hopefully, you know, if we continue this as an ongoing study in the next year or two, then there may be some knowledge of it that seeps out into the community and can build up a base, especially the students if they stick around. As far as the... So I think we will have some level of data come from our first set of volunteers. The rooftop monitoring, we have pretty much permission to get up on top of Roosevelt, and we have permission to get up on top of the fifth floor of the parking structure at Dominican, which is going to be closed for the summer. And they're very excited about it. I met with them on Zoom, and basically I have the phone number of the facilities person there, and when we want to go up, we can go up. So I'm waiting to hear back from the ornithologist at Bradley. He's a very busy person. Communication is erratic. If that happens at all, I will be happy. If it doesn't happen, I won't be surprised. But I'm expecting at the last minute, sometimes last week of May, to get up on the roof at both those places and install a camera trap, which will monitor for bird activity 24/7. And we'll actually, if there are nests, we'll actually be able to watch them. So that's exciting.
Dave, just one question. On dive booms, got an asterisk there, but there's a bunch of times. Is it relative to some recording location?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is, I sent this originally as an email. So that would be a hyperlink where it says dive boom recording. I think I sent it to you.
Yeah. So that's
if you
where
I clicked on that, you'd get a
within those times. Okay.
You'd it go right to a video, and those would be.
Oh, I see. Those are the times of the video.
So yeah.
Okay.
It's actually a sonogram, one of those, encryptions, mm-hmm. and that would be where you hear it. If you just want to familiarize yourself.
So this is just to be able to hear what the bird sounds like.
Mm-hmm. That's like the call.
My wife's got something on her phone that she could record bird sounds and identify them. You guys have that, I would assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah.
Do you use that at all or not?
Yeah, it's not necessary for this study. Okay. Because these you can basically hear.
You'd be identified by just hearing
it. With the unaided ear, and then this behavior with the unaided eye. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I will send you this.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So you can get those links. So that's where things are. Now, as far as Ben, as far as Triton bringing in, I've kind of not been on top of that as I'd like. So, Do you have any suggestions how to coordinate?
Sure. Well, I know Professor Turner, is interested in the project and would love to help out however possible. And I think we just have a variety of roofs that I think could be suitable for the camera traps. If you're like have an idea of which ones or if the camera traps will be available at Triton, just let me know and then I can confirm with our facilities that we can set those up. I think they would probably be set up. I don't know how often we'd be able to go up and monitor them. I don't have clarity over that, but it seems like they would be able to be set up. And again, there's a variety of rooftops. So it'd really be, if you have a preference for certain locations, you can definitely let me know.
Okay, I will send, Professor Deshwal sort of a Google Earth picture of Triton and ask for his preference.
Sure.
Get mm-hmm. back to you. As far as student monitors, I know we had talked about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, in terms of, I'm not sure what Professor Turner has in mind for student involvements, but I know definitely if you're still looking for more volunteers for monitoring, I could definitely see if he's willing to have that as part of his class, or at the very least an extra credit opportunity. If you're looking for ways to get more volunteers, I think that'd be great.
Sure.
And also if you wanted to have specific to Triton monitoring, I can work with him because I think we would definitely be able to set that up.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Okay. And I remember when we spoke at the last meeting, there was a calendar disjuncture with the study. So when would the students be available at Triton?
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem because it would be when this is starting is kind of the first week of the summer semester. So it might be, I'm not sure how active the monitoring will be able to be throughout the entirety of the period, but the class will be in session. So
first week of June?
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about if I'll contact Professor Turner? And I will propose some sites at Triton, and he can, and then also elsewhere in the area,
mm-hmm.
And then he can see if he can find volunteers, if anyone's interested.
Great.
But then I'll also get back to you about buildings.
Yeah, for sure. And, failing that as well, I think we have some students from the Environmental Club that'll be around this summer. So at the very least, I know that they would be interested as well. So.
Okay. And mm-hmm. I think even if it's for part of the time, a few weeks for a few sites at Triton, better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So I have to get back to you then with buildings and some potential sites. And of course, I'll share that with Sheldon as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Perfect.
And if you're looking for more volunteers, I can at least share this with the sustainability coordinator in Oak Park, and they said they'd be willing to cross promote it.
Oh, go right ahead. We're kind of, please do. The sooner the better, because then I'll need to
absolutely
put them into
Could you forward me the email version of this, and then I can just sort of clean it up a bit to share to him for sort of more public dissemination?
David, is this the language like you're thinking for just to give people who are interested? I know you sent it to the people that already expressed it, but when you brought up new volunteers, I'm on a bunch of environmental mailing lists and can send them in if this is what you want or something else.
Yeah, I know you mentioned that. If there would be, I'm hesitant to have you disseminate it
too widely.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Like, if there was something that was local.
Yeah, like it's a local Oak Park area group.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. Go right ahead. Or I think I believe I sent you the email version of that. Yeah. That would be best. Just forward that. My contact information is on there. And yeah, that would be great. Go ahead.
I can also get something in the newsletter and social media for not this coming Friday and Saturday, but next week.
That would be great too. Thank you.
David, is Trailside part of this observation survey?
We have one volunteer who will be going to the auxiliary parking lot. Okay. And I am writing in order for that to happen, I have to write a research, fill out a permit for research activity with the Forest Preserve. So
that's the gravel lot?
Yeah.
For one person.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it's going to be dusk when they're closed.
Right? I see. And so, yeah, I would recommend it because we have been fined.
What's that?
We have been fined.
Oh, if you're there.
Yes.
Yeah, right. So I don't want any trouble. So yeah. I asked Adam and he's like, just fill this out and then he can stay late.
Yeah. Don't park in that parking lot across the street because they close it and that's where she gives out the,
the
fines.
He walks. He walks. He's a neighbor. He'll just walk over. Perfect. So it's working out. It's working out well.
How many volunteers do you have so far for this about? Do you know?
Just under 20, maybe like 16 or 17.
You're doing 7 observations. Each one's doing
once a week, minimum. You can do as many as you want.
Good.
Yeah. You go out multiple nights at multiple locations. If you're interested, okay. Let me know.
Yeah, I will. And you need cover if you're going out of town, Gary?
Yeah, just for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think it probably cover if I'm going out of town for a few weeks as well. But
yeah.
He's going to do the Jewel on Lake Street.
Well, it's a great place. Yeah.
The birds may like it too. Yeah. That would be wonderful. Thank you. So if you have any questions, just let me know it. Yeah. So I think that's where things stand.
And then I didn't know if you had anything else on the events, either last weekend's event or the upcoming events.
I think we owe great we owe thanks to the Forest Preserve and the staff there who basically set up and ran the show. And now the bird walk coming up next Tuesday has as of this past weekend, a lot of people were unaware of it, or at least from the calendar. I don't know if Thatcher has put it up, Trailside has put it up, but Chicago Bird Alliance has advertised it, and I've had 3 RSVPs from them. But I think it will be a small group, which is fine.
What time is it?
10.
10 a.m.?
10, yeah.
Were we supposed to RSVP or just show up?
In the announcement I gave to show up. But if the RSVP is only if there's like a direcco that comes through and we need to cancel and I want to let people know. Yeah. So we'll see how many people show up. 10 o'clock. I'm not sure how well that was, advertised.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a guided bird walk, for all levels of experience. They'll have binoculars and whatnot. And
this is again, beginning at Trailside.
Yeah. Yep. And then, again, the following Thursday, the library has given us the conference room there, for a discussion group, starting, I believe it's 7 o'clock Thursday evening. Yeah. And, I've let the Environmental Club at Oak Park know about this, or OPRF. I don't know how many of them will show up, but, yeah. I've taught classes with, enrollments of 5 people. So I'm completely familiar with the experience of low attendance. All right. It does not faze me. And then, yeah, I think then we can sort of,
yes,
yeah, so, like we've,
Yeah, thank you for taking the lead on all this. This is awesome. Yeah, the only other thing I had, and I just wanted to get this out in front of you, there's no set time frame for this, so we can take this up at the June meeting, the July meeting, if there's further discussion needed. But I just wanted to share the Bird City Proclamation draft. So the one with the village letterhead is just the standard template language that was provided by the Illinois Audubon Society. And then for reference, I also included the Town of Normal's and the City of Evanston's proclamations that they adopted. They both incorporated several of the actions they took locally into their proclamations to sort of make it more specific to what they were doing. I thought that was a good approach. So I just wanted to share this all with you. Obviously, no need for any input tonight, but just to get this in front of you to, you know, invite any ideas you have for how you'd like the proclamation to take shape.
Yes, I will look at these for sure and send some feedback.
Just off the top of this noggin, potentially putting in sites saying that we've done bird watching or, I don't know, night hawk watching. Sorry, David, don't know the names. But putting those names in the locations around Oak Park River Forest that we've done.
Putting that effort in is one of like the sort of things listed out as like the whereas that
action's taken. Sure. Yeah. For sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that will be, this will, all of this stuff and the data compiled, that will be its own sort of section within the application. And then this is sort of that sort of final piece of the application is the adoption of this proclamation. And then that is also sent as its own piece.
Yeah. The only comment I had, and it was, I think you already brought it up, but I would just use one whereas, is tie it into some of the core values of the village. Yep. and direction where they want to go, where we're trying to go. And other than that, I think it's fine.
All right.
Okay. When would you like before the next meeting?
If you get a chance before the next meeting, if not, we can discuss it further at the next meeting and just keep rolling it into July. So I figured some point in the next couple months.
Okay.
But there's no time frame for this, especially with the Nighthawk monitoring sort of still ongoing.
Yeah, I would like to be able to say something concrete about that. So yeah. Once we've had some time, then maybe.
Perfect. Yeah.
I can.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you all plenty of information, a couple other really solid community examples, and no hurry on that one. And then just to skip ahead briefly, and then we can come back to the Green Building Guide for Manolo's input. But I also just wanted to share the Pollinator Week proclamation draft. This is tied to the village's Mayor's Monarch Pledge. So this is just the standard draft language. I can't remember if this is exactly modeled after what was put forward by the National Wildlife Federation, or if I had incorporated just some of the same language we had from last year. But this will need commission approval at next month's meeting, because it will be adopted by the board at their June 22nd meeting, which coincides with the start of Pollinator Week.
Yeah, I thought it looked pretty good, Seth. My only comments on this one, you have to do some counting here. But whereas number four, or whereas number five, seems redundant with what's in part in whereas number four. So I would have just striked that one out. When it talks about urban community, pollinators, agriculture and gardens, you've already referenced that in the one above it in four.
Got it. Yeah, those were just like the standard ones that they had there.
So it just seemed a bit redundant. Room to put something else in.
I would make my, I guess, what's become my standard suggestion, which is to provide some concrete examples. I can't think of any. And that is my one criticism of this. So, for example, if the mayor has a monarch pledge, then I think it would be important to identify where in the village there is milkweed, because there is no other plant that is going to help that insect than milkweed. And I'm not sure I can identify one.
I can.
I planted some.
You planted some in your yard?
Yeah. Well, no, there's a bunch of milkweed in front of the mural of the butterfly on along Central. So
yeah, I think, you know, that seems to be the zone that we have to work with. Mm-hmm. But I guess, and I realize there's not a lot of land that we have to work with.
Is the train track? Do you have any control over the train track?
So above the platform, we do not. The sort of easements, the grass parkway below the walls, we do. That was something we'd actually discussed earlier this spring. There is still a pending grant application for redoing and cleaning up and starting to hopefully get grant funds to fix up some of the spots along the train tracks there with native plants and pollinator plants.
So maybe we could highlight that. Yep. That's like a prospective thing mm-hmm. that we're committed to. Mm-hmm. Funding has not materialized yet, but we've set aside that real mm-hmm. estate. The other thing I would suggest, I was just walking in here to think, wait, where's all the milkweed? The mayor made a pollinator, a monarch pledge. There needs to be milkweed on public property. There's this little green space right in front of the city hall. I would suggest that something be done with that. That needs to be a pollinator garden.
Yeah.
Right now it's grass and just some like evergreen shrubs. If this is more than propaganda, that should be full of. It doesn't have to be common milkweed, which I realize can be aggressive and unsightly, but we can put some other stuff in there on fairly short order too. So those would be my suggestions.
All right.
Are there other places besides that? I mean, what have you guys thought about?
Roosevelt has in the garden there a good amount of milkweed. And I'm curious, I don't know if Lincoln has the same, but
they do.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. There are some native plants. I don't know if there's any milkweed in the Chicago Avenue bioswales. And then I'm not sure with some of the park district sites there.
There's milkweed at the depot. There's a little native garden just if you're looking at the depot just to the right, and there's a pretty substantial amount of milkweed.
Got it. Because I know they have some of the sort of monarch way stations registered to some park district sites, but I didn't know how much milkweed they had. So
the Willard redo, they're doing that. You know, whatever they're doing there, are they including that at all, or has anybody talked to these folks in the park district?
I have not heard, no. So that's
would it be worth it or not?
With them being a separate taxing body, that's really sort of at their discretion and approval.
If I may, it's one thing I've observed in my short time here, it's almost a year, is that most of the land that's available for these kinds of projects is not in our control from the village. It belongs to the park district and the school district.
Yeah.
And so if we have no control over that. So either the schools like Lincoln or Roosevelt have clubs which can kind of internally decide to plant, which they have, and do some great garden work, or they don't. But I think a long-term goal could be for this commission to somehow or another coordinate with the park district, as improbable as that may seem, to, you know, make these things more possible. Because right now there's just no communication.
Have they been resistant to communication, or there's just been no communication?
It would be a great project for you to take on. That would be my best answer.
No, I know Grant, it was the head of it. I could give him a call. Would that be helpful?
That would absolutely be helpful. I mean, I think just initiating that conversation and that would be really good. That's good. It's like, and I think it's the personal connections that make these things happen.
Yeah. Thank you very much. That would just
it'll be easy.
A little step, and we'll see.
Yeah, he's taking care of he's my state farm agent.
Perfect.
He owes me.
And I would also like to point out, I mean, I love David's idea of having a high profile thing, but there, if you look at River Forest proper, there is quite a bit of milkweed here. It's just a lot of it is in the forest preserve, and so we don't see it. But the butterflies do. So,
yeah, I mean, I understand. I will,
I'll be totally honest. I know we have the Forest Preserve falls within our boundaries. I consider that a little bit of a legal fiction, but and you're absolutely right in terms of what's present in the forest preserves. But I think if we could sort of, you know, part of this, make sure that in those bioswales that we have a couple identifiable species that they're, you know, they've taken, they show up, and we make sure they're there every year. A little spot like this, anywhere we can, intentionally make it happen, I think that would be a bonus.
Could we incorporate something very solid like that into the bioswales? Because it seems like it's a very good place to start. We own the land. We're already paying somebody to take care of it. So really, it's just a change in order to say we would like to begin to incorporate either pollinators or, well, if it's, or this specific conversation would be milk.
Yeah, and I've some had type of milk conversations with the company that now manages the bioswales is who I had spoken with when developing the proposals for, like, getting the quotes for the grants for these three sites along the tracks in Central and Hawthorne. So they're very familiar with working with natives, working with pollinators, working with milkweed. So yeah, I think I can follow up with that.
And the same applies for this. I mean, this is, yeah. I believe there's a company that comes in and plants this, right? The out in Frontier.
Works? I'm sorry, are we talking about on this side of the street or on the other side of the street? I thought you were
just right on the sidewalk.
You meant on this side where the rock is?
I thought you were talking about the grass lot across the street, which I know we have.
Just to have some real high profile thing right in front of the village farm.
Yeah, I can.
Because, you know, I think especially since this is something we do every year, to just state it and not see any change from year to year. So I think if that's something that we could include, it doesn't seem like something that rises to need to be approved by the board. But if Public Works agrees to do that, then we could have a paragraph in saying, you know, along these lines, these are the specific areas where we will be introducing milkweed to attract monarch butterflies.
Not that expensive, is it? No. I mean, this is like, they're cheap and then they grow like weeds.
Yes, but as David said, they can become a little unsightly. So
there's one species, the common milkweed, which is what the monarchs need the most, actually. Mm-hmm. Probably, like, you might get some public pushback if that were planted in the bioswales. But there's like two or three other species.
The swamp?
Swamp. That you could put in there.
And the swamp makes sense for the bioswales because, you know, the whole idea is there's a lot of water there, so.
Yeah, I think in the initial quotes that were provided for the Hawthorne and Central sites, I think that they just listed off butterfly milkweed. So I don't know if that's a separate
That's a different species?
That's a different species, mm-hmm. All right.
And that's a very lovely plant, yeah. So, so there's a lot of options besides the weedy one. Maybe after we can just go out there and like take a look at that little thing right by the sidewalk.
Perfect.
The vision of just across the street.
Oh, I've given up on that. Yeah.
Have you?
What land that we control? What land is under our purview or the whatever? What is it? Like, where is it?
So it's really those bioswales along Chicago Avenue, this lot, the village facilities. So here, the pump station, which a lot of the turf grass there is directly on top of critical water infrastructure. So there's not really much we can do with there. I mean, right now you'll see, you know, plywood and random stuff there because we're inside the water tanks doing work currently. And that's an every 5 to 10 year thing that we need to be able to get in there. But it's those two sites, our Public Works garage, which is almost entirely building or gravel or asphalt drive.
Right. Very little space.
Yeah, the parking lot that's being converted into a green space, this green lot here, and then we maintain the parkways along the lower part along the railroad tracks.
That's what Seth's saying is like our target for a native planting.
Right.
Using potential grant money if we're lucky.
Yes. And knock on wood, we should receive word sometime in the next month, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I think they had said June grant notification. June was the award time for that. But that could mean, you know, late July is when they actually let us know. But yeah, so it's very minimal beyond that. I'm trying to think of any other, you know, there's the Metra parking lots are controlled by the village, but, you know, immediately beyond that is park district ground. To the,
I would assume like the milkweed's native to the forest preserve, right?
Parts of it.
Parts of it. Yeah. I mean, all those trees are falling down. I don't know what the heck's going on, but is there a push for the park district doesn't do anything? The Cook County.
The forest preserve.
Forest preserve, sorry.
I don't know exactly what their plans and their policies are. So,
Do you just talk with them at all or no?
Oh, yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
We have much better communication with Forest Preserve.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though they're, how did you describe them? They're nominally part of River Forest.
Yeah.
Actually, the Forest Preserve does a lot. They have a huge pollinator garden with, you know, very Maria, who works on it, a very knowledgeable person that they're building up. So that's really a big effort of theirs. And then something they've done, I think it's beginning 2 years ago, is they're starting to have no-mow zones. And there's a couple. There's one on the big field where they do the sports by the pavilion. And they actually had a burn there. I thought they had cut it down. And I asked somebody about it. And they said, no, they had a burn. And so this is a pretty big region. And then there's also one in Gar Woods, which is the corner of Washington and Thatcher, where there's also another. So that's new development and, you know, really wonderful because they're cultivating native things there. And at least the one in Gar Woods, that is like smack right in River Forest. It's not deep in the woods. So getting back to the pump station, though, there are several spots there that we could introduce. You know, we talked about this briefly earlier in the year, but there's along the fence on the south side, there's the plantings around the pump house itself. So granted, we can't be planting things like right on top of the where there's work, but there are areas. And so, you know, that is still something that's out there and available.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be open to revisiting that. Yes. I forget what the exact plots were. But maybe you could go back to Jack, well, the pump house guys.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they should have a beer. And ask them where we could plant.
Yeah, I mean, I almost feel like this is a better thing to give to the Public Works because, again, they control the land. I don't know if they would do the, I mean, do they do, they don't do a lot of planting themselves, do they?
No. Know. Which was before my time, when blanking on who was the superintendent prior to Brian, but the previous superintendent had a small native planting that he put right in the front of the public works garage there. And then I don't think there was any sort of maintenance or follow-up with that. It was just sort of a quick planting and then moved on.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And sort of that, I think that had sort of happened the same time as the current native planting site at Hawthorne that's sort of overrun with just sort of regular grass and tons of
other. And the same the Park District had several as well. And the same thing happens to theirs. There's good intentions and very, very little follow through.
But sort of jumping back one on the agenda, so we had been discussing the past couple of meetings of developing a sort of green building electrification guide, and I've had a couple of conversations with Manolo offline about this. So if I understand correctly, so our next steps in sort of developing this information is we would like to do outreach to locally licensed contractors just to get sort of an assessment of what sort of electric appliances they are used to working with, whether it be heat pumps, induction stoves, that sort of stuff, and those who are qualified to and comfortable with installing these things. Because I think the takeaway from the previous conversations is we want to sort of promote and encourage electrification of home appliances. A lot of the trouble that homeowners run into is finding contractors who are willing to do that work. So I know we've just sort of shared a couple things, and then we had talked about sort of pulling from the list of licensed contractors with the village and seeing, you know, who works with what. And so just since our last sort of email exchange, I was thinking in terms of contractors, we would be looking at HVAC contractors, plumbers, electricians, and mechanical contractors. And then the sort of full list of appliances we wanted to pull them on, I think, is what we sort of need help identifying.
Yeah, and I apologize. I've been stressed with finals and end of the semester, which it's over on Thursday. So I can put more effort into this then. But yeah, I think that would be good, and I can help with that. And if anyone has any ideas, of, I can bring it back to you all next month, and then we can add more if I'm missing something. And then I know you mentioned something, like certificates last month, David, and like, I don't know if I can Google certificates, and maybe if we wanted to incorporate those or suggest people get them, because I don't know how how much people have them, how well known these certificates are.
Yeah, I think the talk was that there was some sort of certification or credentialing that sort of identified some of these contractors. And I know we talked about with how we have, you know, plumbers and electricians currently licensed with the village is they sort of have two differentiating categories. And so like plumbers, they have, there's some sort of documented additional credentials that they have with their state license for that they can do sort of the work within the public right of ways versus those who just do like sort of work in the home. And then same with electricians is they have a set credential from the Illinois Commerce Commission to do EV charging station installations, whereas others do not.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that. It's been a long month. But yeah, I can get back with a brainstorm of appliances and email people if you want to, or you can do that. That's
yeah, and I think, but you think maybe next meeting we can sort of have like the bare bones of like a survey that we would send out, and then I could just send this out sort of, I could run a report, pull the email contact information for all these different types of contractors, and then just sort of send an email blast out to see if we get anyone, you know, who'd be willing to fill out that survey.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, that's all I had. Unless anybody else had any ideas or thoughts.
Do we know? I don't know. You probably wouldn't have, there's no record of who has installed a heat pump.
I would have to like manually search through our permitting system.
Yeah.
Like, so like for like solar and EV, we have specific permits for those. And then even for like the basic EV, like it'll be in the permit description of I'm in charge installing this outlet for my EV charger, things like that. But with this, I mean, I can search and see if there's anything that pulls up. And yeah, I can look into that and at least see what sort of data we've got, because I have not done that deep of a dive into this within our permitting system before.
Is that the kind of thing you can just hold on to Excel and do a word search? You only have to look back by about 2 years.
Yeah, probably. I think, I mean, I can keyword search even within our permitting system and then export that list to Excel. So I think
that would be interesting to look at as a first step. And if it's not too onerous.
Yeah, I mean, I might have to sort through some data, but I should have some, you know, we've been juggling a bunch of stuff, both this commission and then the public works department, the budget season. So I think I have a little bit more bandwidth that I should be able to dive into that. I know I haven't been able to give this sort of full attention as I've been handling other things, but
yeah. I think it would just give us a picture of what's happening.
Yeah.
And we could
definitely.
Seth, if you are able to do that, I would, and it's possible, I would include the date just so that we can see if this is, you know, like, is this a trend in addition to just, you know, how many there are and where they are. But
yeah, I can at least see when the permit was issued.
Just to see, is this something that's gaining popularity or, you know, at what type of a pace and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'll pull stuff together and have just sort of a more full, thorough review it for next month's meeting then.
So this would be, sort of electric heating and cooling.
Yeah, the big thing to see is just sort of like I'm trying to figure out is how wide of a net to cast.
Like if, any alternative non gas powered.
Yeah.
Or traditional, I guess, non gas powered furnaces and non electric
heat pump water heaters and.
Yeah, induction stoves. Are we doing that as well?
You don't need a permit for a water heater, do you?
They pulled up when I got mine.
Did they?
Yeah, I guess it depends because I mean, I don't think it is for like. That might be the differentiation. Yeah.
I don't know. They just went up and pulled a permit.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, it might be relatively easy because if you see a water heater, it's likely being switched.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'll dive in and check it with that too. So, I guess we got to sort of figure out what we're working with first and then develop a plan from there. But no, that sounds like a good path forward on that one. Manolo, do you have anything else for this one?
No, nothing.
All right. All right, so we'll move on to...
Can I back up just for one second? Because I get a little confused on this. And I agree with Dave. I like this thinking on, you know, kind of what's the plan here to actually talk pollinating gardens, where they're going to be, when they're going to be there, that kind of stuff. All right. So where I get confused is my yard, has anybody seen it? I call it a Darwinian yard, right? Yeah. Strongest survives. Well, I do throw out some stuff here and there just because it gets bald spots and let's see what's going to live. So why, I mean, so we're talking about this, is the issue the fact that we have to have somebody to manage it, that it makes it so selective? Because, you know, you add it up, you got acres that run along both sides of the railroad tracks here, that if you just wanted to go and do it Gary Lennon style, I mean, it'd be done, right? So what is it that drives the distinction of we can only use this space or this space? Because somebody has to actually cultivated.
Yeah, there needs to be some management, at least for those first few years, to make sure it takes correctly. And you're much more of an expert on this than I am, feel free to jump in.
Looking that way a little bit.
Well, there's different ways to do it. I mean, when I wrote that grant for Missouri Prairie Foundation, I envisioned more of a community effort, which is entirely possible. Starting from zero, scraping the sod and putting in plugs, which is one way to do it.
But then is it a let it go or is it take ongoing cultivation? That's where I'm.
We'll take management of one kind or another, either weeding. I don't imagine a burning is an option, but mowing and then selective weeding over the years. It could be, again, a community project or we could have contractors do it. It's the same way the Forest Preserve uses both volunteers and contractors to manage all their habitats. I think the impression I got was that if we were to work on that property along the tracks, we want it professionally installed just for the sake of some kind of level of presentation, which is fine, sort of like the bump outs. Those just need to be managed because I think there's a higher level of visibility and accountability as a result, right? I mean, I think when undertaking this stuff, and I'm fairly conscious of this, having devoted my entire yard to it, is that, you know, there's a little bit of a responsibility that at least I feel to make sure that it doesn't put people off. And the last thing we want is for people to not like the way it looks. And that'll just tank the whole thing. So
it's cultivated natural. That's what you're really talking about, right?
Or managed. I mean, managed, right. There is no landscape in on the planet or in this country, state, or county that can survive without management. That's just the way we are now. Everything in the forest preserve that looks natural is managed. It's burned. It's forested. It's weeded. New things are planted, but it's all very intentional with ecological science backing it up. And but nothing is left untended anywhere. If it is, then
I have to say that's true for parts of it. But
what's that?
That's true for parts of the Forest Preserve. If you're thinking around trail side, that's very highly managed. But if you're looking south of the tracks,
yeah, no,
that,
I mean
that part is very, very minimally managed.
Nothing that's of value or the way it should be is unmanaged. If something's unmanaged, then it's unhealthy. And the trick in this is what ecological science does is to figure out how to manage a landscape or a habitat to optimize its biological health. So that's my lecture. I'm sorry, but you.
No, I'm just curious because mentally, nature's been managing itself since the first seed was created, and that's why I'm and so when I think about natural, I think about literally natural. And I understand that, you know, the forest preserves go and they burn and getting rid of a lot of the things that they don't want. And, you know, and that's also for other reasons. One, just aesthetics, I think. But is that what we need to be considering, and what is driving our selection of opportunities? That's really what I'm trying to understand, because that's where the money comes, right? The money comes in the ongoing management of it.
Well, if you're asking about properties like land, plots,
yeah,
or the plants, the flora that we put on the plots.
Well, I know both to begin with.
Okay,
right.
Because if you take the money to put the native flora on the plots and then you don't manage it, you're going to lose the native flora and lose your money.
It won't sustain itself. In other words,
and then it won't provide the benefits that you're hoping to provide.
Okay,
so it's in your interest, in the interest of the positive outcomes ecologically, to maintain it. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. You're looking for targeted outcomes.
Yeah.
And you need to manage it for that outcome.
Right. So, I mean, if you go from like Yellowstone to the Everglades, in no instance is there a sort of general hands off, let nature take its course. That's not a policy that's implemented. Even if you decide to let a wildfire go, it's because you want certain outcomes and you've thought about that in advance.
So part of our thinking needs to be to just identify every inch of property we have that we could use and try and understand then what's going to be the cost to
maintain
and create and maintain.
And, you know, circling back, that's why the lowest cost ones are going to be the ones that are already being maintained, but we're not prioritizing pollinator or specifically milkweed.
And I would suggest that you're not going to be able to achieve that on grants.
Wait, you think they will or won't?
Won't.
That, yeah.
You're not going to achieve that on grant. So it becomes, okay, how do we do that? And so, I mean, we talked about our little bank account, but I don't know how big that is and how far that will stretch.
So there's some maintenance is performed in-house by our public works staff. And then some is done. We contract out with a landscape contractor to manage the Lake Street planters, the Chicago Avenue bioswales. I feel like a couple other sites here at the village that I'm blanking for, but small sites that require more sort of regular maintenance that may not our staff with their various other duties may not be able to get to on a regular basis. So it's a mix of both in terms of how that's managed.
Would it be bad enough to do more or not? Are they pretty much
from our staff? I mean, it's pretty much maxed out. It is a 9-person staff that, you know, maintains the village's entire, you know, the parkway trees, the water infrastructure, the, you know, street sweeping, snow plowing, pothole filling, anyone who's a part of the compost program, the compost deliveries. The month of November is basically entirely dedicated to leaf collection. I mean, so it's,
Well, I wouldn't, I know I've mentioned this before, but, you know, community participation does work. Maybe perhaps for the installation initially, we want professional,
involvement and occasional professional contracting at intervals. But I think for things like seasonal weeding and whatever, community participation could lower the cost of the maintenance. That's one thing. I like this idea of a sort of dedicated bank, a dedicated kind of fund. Right now we have $800 in a bank account that were generated by a native plant sale last fall, and we haven't used that it's going to be used in the forest preserve, but it is possible to raise funds. And I don't know how far that would go towards getting a couple guys to.
I just want to clarify, in those funds, that's Roosevelt's Environmental Club.
That's Roosevelt's Environmental Club. Yeah, they're going to use it to support some material needs at Thatcher Woods. But, in future years, funds could be directed elsewhere.
Well, we do have the aggregation money.
Yes, that will start coming in September. Yep.
Yeah, so I mean that's one possibility that's a 24-month commitment. Yep. So that at least some portion of that could be committed to this.
So my next question would be then, okay, so we pretty much know the properties that are around here, right? So if we said, all right, what are the properties that if I wouldn't tie anything to it other than it'd be an ideal place to do it. Identify those and say, okay, what would it cost then to manage this thing going forward? What would it take? That to me be a starting point.
I think that's fair, because I think that's the stumbling block for a ton of projects. And
then you always scale up and down. I mean, yeah, getting volunteers to do things is great, but my parents lived in a cul-de-sac and looked great the first couple of years, but then it was up to them to manage it.
So how would you determine the cost? I mean, do you guys have any idea how much it costs to do this stuff?
Well, yeah, the bioswells, right?
So we have the, existing sort of contractual, landscape contract that we can contract with every year. And, it's not a huge budget. We really just sort of adjust the work to fit the budget, similar to when we can contract out tree trimming and tree removals, as we do a lot of that in-house, but we contract it out, and how much we contract out is really just to based on sort of the bids that we receive, and then we sort of adjust the scope to fit our budget,
right?
Because it's typically quantity bids rather than sort of a holistic of this is how much it costs to do everything. It's however many man hours or whatever is needed.
Is that something you can do, Seth, is in your spare time? Just kind of, you kind of know those areas we talked about, right? Just kind of, this is how big they are and how much they, and roughly what would cost on an annual basis. And we can look at what our kids.
Yeah, I can look into what bids or proposals we've received the past couple of years just to
apply them.
Yeah. Somewhat cost idea. Yeah. And
as well as including, I don't know what the time frame is on that, but so much of that and so much of some of these other areas, and just, okay, this is, for the amount of money we're going to have in this kitty, that we're getting, how much can we cover? And go from there. I think I just did what I said I wasn't going to do, is spend it all at once.
So you said there's 24 months of money coming in from what, and how much is that?
This is the community aggregation program. So it's, for the past few years, we've just been receiving renewable energy credits with no sort of contribution to the village from it. And then the past few months, this commission discussed the extension of it, which happens starting in September. And so we're shifting away from renewable energy credits back towards the civic contribution portion. So we will receive total over the 24-month period from September of this year to September of 2028, $30,000 in monthly payments of, what is it, $1,250, I believe, dollars. And so one of the recommendations from the commission was to put those funds toward visible sustainability initiatives. So this has been one of the ones raised sort of several times over the course of that discussion. One of the things raised at the board last night was the, public recycling containers, which I know we talked about earlier. And so this would potentially be a funding source for that, for the native plantings.
And maybe we can even shame the railroad into coughing up some money to do things along the tracks, right?
And you don't need it every month either, right? I mean, because in the winter, you're not doing anything.
No, yeah. So typically the landscaping contracts are 8 or 9 months. And so it's odd with how it times up with the fiscal year, because our fiscal year starts May 1st, but we also need to contract for April. So it's typically like, you know, we get something put in place and then it carries over awkwardly for 1 or 2 months the next year following sort of a scale down in November, typically.
That was it.
All right. So only other thing on the agenda is the communications and staff report. So I put in the most recent LRS report. I've still been trying to sort of figure out if there's any correlations between the different tonnages. There isn't really. It just varies.
You used the word weak like 8 or 9 times.
So that is the technical term of like, yeah. If you do a correlation, if it like it's less than 0.2, then it's considered a weak correlation.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a lawyer. So, they'll never say none, right?
If the correlation is 1, then it's a perfect correlation where this goes up and this goes up. And so, yeah.
Weak and very weak.
This is my several semesters of social statistics taken through undergrad and grad school.
Yeah, be ambiguous.
You know, my I'm not at all terribly literate with statistics, but just a question I had was looking at the graphs is we don't separate out the tonnage for those households who are composting. We don't know what their waste tonnage is.
We do not know.
That would be really revealing.
Yeah, the problem with that is that the same truck that picks up the carts picks up the yard waste bags. Yeah. So
I don't know, but if
because by truckload.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there any way to get that information, I think that would be tremendously enlightening, and that might be much more encouraging and positive than. Because I think that gets lost in the waste.
But then just moving on quickly to the next items under here. So Gary had brought up battery network last time. This is just our communications calendar, so we're not quite to this yet. But I began looking into it. It is a battery recycling program for basically all types of batteries smaller than 12 pounds. So basically anything that's not a car battery or any similar, I think they call them spillable lead acid batteries.
It's pure lithium. Yeah.
Can be collected as part of this program. There's no need for separating anything other than damaged, defective, or recalled lithium ion batteries is the only thing that needs to be handled separately. There's no need for special preparation for these batteries. I've signed the village up for it. I've done all the sort of required training for the, you know, shipping of hazardous waste, which is what they do. And actually, as of yesterday, I placed an order for them to ship 4 55-gallon drums for us to begin battery collection. So the collection point will still be here at Village Hall. Ultimately, the batteries will be stored at the Public Works Garage. That's sort of the focal point for where the battery network will be shipping to and from. But once this stuff comes in, I will start to promote the program, get the information out. And yeah, it's much more expansive than our current alkaline battery only collection we've got in the basement. So as we get this rolling, I'll probably sort of update the information we have down there, have sort of a separate bucket for the damaged, defective, recall lithium ion batteries. And then this will be able to bring in anything up to and including, you know, lawn equipment batteries, what we had talked about with the leaf blowers, e-bikes, all of that stuff. So yeah, as we get this rolling, it should be hopefully shipped to us soon, but we'll start to promote this program and get the ball rolling with that.
I'm on top of this, but I can't help it. Just my background is, 55-gallon drum is going to have a
pretty heavy. So hopefully you can get it out of where you're getting into.
So we still have a bunch of old batteries from when we did all of the meter switch outs a few years ago as part of the automated metering infrastructure, just sitting in crates in the public works garage. So I think they're really excited to take those first few drums and just start filling them up.
Good. I'm glad they saved them.
That's yeah. great.
Have you bounced those two off, fire chief? Because that's the thing I think about.
So I've discussed this with administrative staff and public works. I've not discussed this with the fire chief. I do know there are some, you know, hazard and fire concerns. Basically what these drums are stored in, they come with several bags of this flame suppressant, almost sand-like material.
Standard 55-gallon.
No, they're steel-lined on the outside. And
like or something, so this.
Yeah, and there's closed. You basically fill it up with this material, and then like you layer on like each material, like as a level of it gets filled with batteries, then you pour another one in, and then you top it off with two more, like the final like bags that they provide you with the drums. So
as a resident, I'll just drop it off in a bucket and somebody else would do all this layering
yeah.
and covering. And
yeah. So that would be handled by myself, our okay. building maintenance technician, and then we would take it to the public works garage for the sort of official safety handling. And there is just sort of a much safer location with all of those fire things of,
fire
you know,
cabinets, yeah. all that stuff.
And then in terms of other village project updates, we are currently out to bid for the first phase of the permeable pavers here at Village Hall. So that I'm trying to remember, within a week or two, we should have the bids come in that would likely be approved by the board in June. And then construction would begin on that later this summer.
Where will those go?
So this would be brick pavers to sort of absorb stormwater. So it'd be the front parking lot here and then the police drive around.
Can you plow those?
Yes, it's.
My neighbor has those and plowing was an issue.
So there is some issues with plowing and how it has to be plowed. I know we. Our crews, so when they plow the alleys in the winter, they just sort of have to position okay. it just yeah, right. Yeah. And then there are one or two blocks that I believe are entirely brick pavers.
So right.
And so those, I think, because of the age of the bricks, that's actually more difficult than the alleys are. But, I mean, our crews are sort of experienced with this, with any of the plowing done here, it's done with our smaller, it's our F-350 trucks, not the giant snow plows. Yeah, and so the plan is to do this and then the police drive all the way around to the exit would be the phase one of this project, and this will be funded partially through Metropolitan Water Reclamation District Green Infrastructure Partnership funding and partially through a capital grant from the State Department of Commerce and Economic
Opportunity.
Demo the
stuff, then put the papers that
yep
it's expensive. I mean,
yes,
that's a lot of money.
Yes, yes, hence why we're leveraging a lot of grant funds over $350,000 in grant funds to help fund this phase one. And then the MWRD has approved additional funding for our south parking lot here to do additional
will it make that funding. Much of a difference
In terms of stormwater runoff? Yeah, because this is all sort of goes in and there's storage and then infiltration underneath. So it any big rain event, it's not going into the combined sewer systems that we have here. So anything like this that's sort of capturing that stormwater and not sending it right into the sewer, that's what stops any of these heavy rains, sort of
sure.
sewer backup. Overflows, basement yeah. backups, things like that.
Cistern thing here is actually.
So it will be directly underneath the brick pavers. There will be several layers of aggregate to sort of allow it to infiltrate down. Yeah. No. Some of it will have like just standard storm tunnels that will feed gradually into the sewer system. That's how most of the alleys work. But yeah, a lot of it will be just infiltration. And then the other ongoing sustainability project, we are having an electrician from Winfrey Solar come out to the Public Works garage this Thursday to review the facilities further. It's just with a very old building with old electrical. Installing new solar panels on the roof is proving to be a challenge, but yeah, just sort of figuring out the best path forward for that and exactly what upgrades are needed with our meter. And then still sort of waiting on some ComEd approval on that, but we're looking at we're initially thinking mid-May, now it looks like an early June start date for the solar panel installation over there. I believe that's all I had in terms of projects. And then I've outlined here just our upcoming communications. So I have battery network temporarily plugged in for the first week of June. I don't know when we'll receive that, but I'll just sort of adjust that forward or backward. This week will be a reminder for the household hazardous waste sign up. Actually, our deputy clerk emailed me Monday asking what to do and then emailed me 5 minutes later and said, never mind, we're doing this. So, Recycle Coach, I met with the Recycle Coach staff a few weeks ago. They provided me with a bunch of other sort of marketing promotional material. So I'll plug that in as needed. They've got a lot of cool graphics and stuff that I think we can incorporate into social media posts and newsletters. But nothing huge coming up.
How about 626? Is that open?
Yes.
Why don't I get you an update at that point on the focal species survey, the next awesome. Survey, just how we're doing. And then 8:14 or 21, we could have a recap.
I don't have anything for July or August yet, so...
If you'd like, that would be when we could actually provide some, we could like say, hey, here's.
Perfect. Yeah.
8:20. Can we do the 21st?
21st.
Yeah. Okay.
To support that point, you didn't really mention here how you want feedback and when.
Oh, at the end of the study.
Just want it off the end.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you can tell me anytime. Contact me. What's going on? And if you want to send me.
Well, yeah, you got 20 other people.
I think it might be good to do I found they're very tedious and hard to get people to do, but even if it's just one person, like a Google form, how was your experience? Any feedback?
Dave, whatever he thinks he needs is I'm just asking you since you're going to give an update.
Oh, yeah. I would collect these at the end. I guess I didn't specify that, but, Or you could summarize it on a spreadsheet.
I got a different plan. Yeah.
Okay.
Then unless anyone has anything else.
Just one thing real quick.
Yep.
We had Lillian come in tonight, and apparently two others came in. Do we want to at least give a little bit of acknowledgement? Thank you for, I know you can't do names, but the students who came in and presented.
Oh, yeah.
But also, should we be kicking out like a personal thank you note from us to her, a card or something? Do you do those kind of things? I mean, I just want to encourage your kids, and they like that stuff.
We don't have her address or contact information, but
okay.
But I think acknowledging her would be wonderful.
I know they may not want to use the names, but
just that students have come and shared public comment to the village or the sustainability commission
or even if you just use their first name, like Lillian and whoever the first name's other.
I people. Might actually plug that in a couple weeks here. And just note that, at the May board meeting and the May meeting of the sustainability commission, students from Lincoln School came out and then just sort of quickly summarized what they were sort of pushing to promote within the village.
Yeah. And thank them for doing it.
Yes.
That's a big piece. So thank them for doing it.
And maybe I don't know if you, I mean, I can do it, but someone from the village, I think pointing out one of the things that I took away from it was those three speeches today and yesterday was it seems like they might want to collaborate, or at least I want to collaborate with the schools and see what they're doing, what they want from us to do, to pursue. So maybe if you're thinking of going that route, saying we look forward to partnering with the green teams of D90.
Absolutely. That's kind of how I would frame it.
All right.
And then I don't know, but maybe adding this as an agenda item to just discuss at next month's meeting of ways we can. I know it's weird because they're not our taxing body, but I bet they have input for us.
The school district?
Yeah, the school district and the students specifically, but also the school year's ending, I guess. So
yeah, that might be better come August, September when the school year's starting back up, but no, great thought.
I mean, that could be something like maybe we set aside one night per quarter, one 20 minutes at a meeting per quarter where we invite representatives from the Green for Good and the student eco programs here at OPRF to come talk to us about what they're doing, bring us up to speed, and we just kind of extend an invitation.
That sounds great. All right. So yeah, with that, unless anyone has anything else, we need a motion to adjourn. All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlec?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt? Commissioner Shader? Yes. We are adjourned at 9:00.